Hi, and welcome to the Mind Affinity podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today, I'm chatting with Dave Kitchen, who at the time of airing this podcast is an unemployed bum. So let's chat after this.
The mind is capable of amazing things, and yet so many people use that immense power to hold themselves back. Imagine what you could achieve harnessing that power and using it to push yourself forward. This is the Mind Affinity podcast, the place for advice and inspiration to help you empower yourself.
Dave, hi, how's it going?
Hey, good, thanks, Duncan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Did you like your introduction?
Yeah, fantastic. I think that just about sums it up.
Excellent. But you seem quite cheery about it.
Well, there's no point getting miserable and depressed and kind of going, ooh, the world's terrible, is there? I made the decision, kind of, I've got to, it was my decision, so it's a good thing.
There we go. But that must be a bit scary as well, like not knowing what's next.
I mean, you'd think so, wouldn't you? You actually would think so. But and possibly if you rewound to 2012, I would have said, yeah, absolutely. But I kind of have been in a situation where I'm not quite sure what's next a couple of times. So kind of nothing bad happened previously. So probably nothing bad's going to happen this time. It will be fine. I'm just not stressed about it.
That's beautiful. And a really useful experience to have been through in the past to be able to call upon in times like this now. So how did that all change then? Talk to me about what happened in, did you say 2012?
Yeah, so I was a teacher, as you may or may not have already known. And I'd had, my first year of teaching was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And my second year of teaching started to go wrong in the October. And it was, a member of staff went off sick in the department, which kind of started to add a bit of pressure because we had to pick up extra classes. And then the most experienced, the most like my kind of, my mentor and my line manager disappeared off the face of the planet in the middle of February. So there was I with 18 months teaching experience and the guy that was experienced teacher, my mentor, and I was literally kind of doing his role as well as trying to teach my classes, mark work, et cetera, and that year was terrible. That was 2011. And I never actually recovered from it. And I never got back to a state where I could work properly. And in 2012, I just basically got to a point where I'd had enough. I couldn't cope. Teaching was too much and I had to get out. And it was, to kind of go, there was a day where I walked out of the college and as I stood in the staff room putting my coat on, I wasn't sure whether to clear my desk then or not, because I knew I wasn't going back. And I went, sod it, I'll just grab my portable hard drive. That's all that actually really matters. Anything else, I'm not actually fussed about if I never see it again. And then just as a twist of fate, to make me sit there and contemplate it, my car broke down on the way home.
Oh, no.
So across the Runcorn Bridge, back into Widnes, which is up north, and you probably don't know it. Some of your listeners might. If Chisholm's listening, he'll know it. As I came off the Runcorn Bridge on the slip road, every light on the dashboard started to light up. And about half a mile later, I was stuck in the hard shoulder, just waiting for the RAC. And it was, I just sat there and went, no, definitely not. Absolutely, decision made. I'm not going back. But a lot of people go, well, you haven't got a job. You know, what are you going to do? Well, just find something is the answer. There is always, I think there's always a way that you can earn some cash. There are tons of opportunities out there if you're prepared to open your eyes and look for them. And that's actually where I became a taxi driver at that point. But and that was only ever temporary. It lasted about 8 years.
That in itself is a whole journey and an experience, isn't it? So that temporary thing that was only temporary, was it a decision that it was going to be 8 years? I'm sure you didn't sit down and decide 8 years will do, but was there a decision where you decided, a moment where you thought, actually, let's change this, or did you just get caught up in it?
There was a point where I started just a taxi driver. That sounds a bit derogatory, but working for a big company, you know, taking jobs off them and driving people around, which actually, when I first started, it was hugely therapeutic. And then the job started to annoy me a bit, purely because we weren't doing it very well as a company. Like, we weren't providing good service, and the taxi industry is known for terrible service. You know, I'm just turning the corner at the top of your street, mate. And will you let me order it before you start lying to me? That Peter Kay skit. So I decided to do something about that and set up my own taxi company, because I quite liked the work. It was quite pleasant to just pick people up, have a chat, drop them off. You know, sometimes they'd be in the car 2 minutes, sometimes they'd be in for 4 or 5 hours, and a lot in between. And the point where I decided to set up on my own was where I kind of went, no, I'm going to make a go of this and do something with it. And that didn't necessarily go hugely well in a lot of ways, so much so that a year later I ended up starting again because I made some terrible decisions. But, you know, such is life, don't we all?
When you were making those, or when you made those terrible decisions, obviously they didn't feel like terrible decisions at the time. It's not until afterwards that you look back and they do. What did you learn from those mistakes? What benefit did you get from that?
I guess it was mostly around recognizing that you're about to make a big decision in the first place, because sometimes I might not have actually recognized that. And then secondly, figure out what it is kind of that will make you sway that decision one way or the other. What do you actually want out of this situation? And can you get what you want in the right way, or can't you? So either you say yes or no.
What do you mean by in the right way? I like that.
So, yeah, I mean, what I didn't want to come across, because I'm not the kind of person that just wants to screw people. So I want something out of you. It's not that I just want it out of you at all costs. I want you to benefit from it as well, and it to be good for both of us. So, yeah, I wanted... it was around taking on a business partner, basically, and I chose two terribly. but, yeah, it kind of... Those decisions weren't made as, like, kind of... actual look at the data decisions. They were a bit more emotional, and it didn't quite work. And I think the thing I learned was to actually be a bit more analytical with business decisions, because it's the real numbers that matter.
See, as humans, we're really good at, well, the vast majority of our decisions are made emotionally. And it's after that that we then justify and explain and find logic to support what we kind of want to do anyway.
Yeah.
So like when you're buying a new car, you buy the one that emotionally excites you because it's shiny or whatever. And yes, there's obvious boundaries where you don't go, I'm going to get the Lamborghini because that's fun, but it's where your price bracket, you know. We're drawn to something that emotionally connects with us, and sometimes you do need to take that step back to think logically and actually make a rational decision. for you personally, how, so obviously at the time you said you didn't know that you were even, or didn't even take the time to acknowledge that it was a defining decision that you were making in the moment.
Yeah.
Has that changed now? Do you make your decisions, do you notice those decisions more now? And if so, what do you do? What's the process that helps you to notice those decisions when they come up?
So I don't think I'm conscious necessarily of how I notice a big decision like that, but I do. I seem to kind of just somehow see it, and the first thing to do, I think, is to stop and kind of go, hang on, this is a big decision. Do I actually want to make this decision and go down that path? And that, you know, if you, to make myself stop, look at the numbers or the data that surrounds something, particularly if it's a business decision, not necessarily a life decision. Stop, look at the facts and figure out, you know, if it's about working with a person, what is it that I need that person to be, and can they naturally be that person? Because some people can be good enough in a certain way to support you in the way that you need, but some people, they're very good at what they do. They're superb professionals and practitioners in their field, but they're not necessarily the right people for you to work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes sense both ways. So, you know, there have been examples I can think of where generally the way I work within my business especially is that I choose the people I want to work with. So long as they're capable of the job and delivering it. But there's definitely times when you see a person and you think, yes, I would love to work with this person, but actually the way that they work and the way that I work and what I would need from them isn't necessarily compatible. Is the same with my individual clients. This is why I always have an initial consultation with everyone to see if we're the right fit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think the thing for me is I know what irritates me about the industry. So just going back to the taxi industry, one of the things that irritated me is the phone not being answered. So that was one of the things that I set out to change when I started my taxi company. And as such, I moved heaven and earth to make sure I answered the phone. I put systems in place to make sure the phone could be answered. But if the people coming in don't share that vision and that place the importance on that thing and make excuses not to do that thing that is so hugely important to me, then that relationship is going to be very, very difficult. And, you know, I used to checking that drivers were doing what they were supposed to be doing and they were going to the jobs at the right time was something that I did automatically. It was just part of me. But that, again, was something that was missing. And I didn't identify early that that was important to me. And I needed to find a way to find out how important that was to the business partners I was working with before we actually started working together.
Absolutely. I think there's a really brilliant, an important life lesson within that as well. I don't think it's just business, which is that we have our expectations, whether that's through, so you effectively had a system that you used, but you didn't actually communicate that system to anyone else to expect them to follow it initially when you were learning this the hard way. And I think it's the same thing in life. We often have these expectations of what we want other people to do based on what's important to us. but we don't always communicate that very effectively. And then we're getting frustrated with Fred because Fred's not keeping his side of the bargain. But actually, we've kind of created an unwritten contract that Fred never agreed to in the first place. We do it in relationships a lot, right? Is it like nice guy syndrome? You just want to make everyone happy. So you bend over backwards to do everything for them. And then you get to the end of the day and you're thinking, well, hang on a minute. She hasn't even said thank you. Well, she didn't ask you to do any of that. You did that. You created that for yourself. How does she know what you're expecting from her if you've just not had a conversation about it?
Absolutely. I think there was in that situation for me, there was a fundamental difference at the start between where I was and where they were, which isn't necessarily a problem. But when it came down to it, I wanted, and we did actually communicate about it, I wanted to move the positions closer together. Because we were losing customers. You know, I worked out that every phone call was worth £19. So if a phone call's worth £19, you damn well want to answer the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot of money that's disappearing. It's not just how important something is to somebody, but it's how willing they are to be flexible with stuff like that as well, because some people would go, maybe hadn't thought of it in the first place, and when you talk to them about it, they go, bloody hell, Dave, you're right, that's a really good point, yeah, let's do that, and they're on board and you're away, because they suddenly go, of course, like, it makes perfect sense, I now share your vision, let's do it, and life is brilliant. Or at the other end of the spectrum, they kind of just never get it. And that's partly where I was with one of my business partners. He never got it.
What made you decide to stop driving cars or managing other people driving cars?
So it was kind of two things, really. One, I guess you would describe as ill health, which I hate that phrase. What I actually mean is, I got a persistent back issue that was caused by driving cars. That was kind of a, you need to think about this, Dave, and kind of decide what you're going to do. And also, I came to a point in my life where a relationship ended, or I ended a relationship. Either way, whichever way you want to spin that, same thing. And the burning desire to travel was kind of there. And it's been there for, 20 years at least. And I had a plan, you see. I had a master plan. At the end of 2019, I was splitting up with a girlfriend, which I did. I was moving in with my friend Debbie and her husband James, which I did. And then 3 months later, having organised all my possessions and sold the taxi company and blah, 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 I was going to go and teach English to children in Southeast Asia.
Nice. Beautiful.
However, coronavirus, COVID-19, kind of put a stop to that.
What's that?
The global pandemic.
I think I read about that somewhere.
Yeah, it kind of went, no, Dave, computer says, no, you can't go to Southeast Asia. You're not allowed to travel, which was a crying shame. But the timing of the pandemic for me was so fortunate because it coincided with my back being horrendous and literally, 2 weeks pretty much in bed, unable to move, waking up in the middle of the night in absolute agony, not being able to sit at a table, really struggling to sit on the loo. Like, it was bad. But the timing of the pandemic and the government support that was available meant that it just wasn't a problem. because I was able to kind of get by and get myself back to some kind of physical health. So yeah, that was the plan, was to go travel. And it still is to an extent. It's just still not really viable as a thing to do. But that's why I stopped driving the cars. I quite liked managing the other people driving the cars, but I don't know that I'd like sitting in the office and not actually driving myself, because that's quite a hard job and quite tedious. I like being outside. That's an interesting thing that I've learned about myself. I like being outside in the sunshine.
Isn't it amazing how long we can go through existing without acknowledging and noticing some really obvious facts about ourselves when we notice them, like you like being outdoors.
Yeah. And it doesn't even need to be necessarily be, the thing is sunlight for me, just bright sunlight that we've got now. It's wonderful. And I'm sat looking out my lounge window and I just see blue sky and it's fantastic. The flat that I used to live in, it was a lovely flat, but there was a terrible thing about it, and it had tiny windows and nothing to look at if you did go and look out of the windows. And I didn't realise how much of an issue that was until I moved somewhere with a better view. And I still haven't got a great view, but I can see trees and blue sky, so that's a win.
I moved house during lockdown myself, and the views now from where I am are stunning. I'm so, so fortunate. And one of the things I love about it is my partner has lived there for years, and still pretty much every evening through this time of the year and over the next 6 months, as the sun's setting, she'll run to the front door and take a photo of the sunset, because there's not a single day when it isn't just beautiful. And I really love that she still embraces and enjoys and is grateful for that view that she gets to see, even though she's seen it every day.
Nice sunsets and sunrises never ever get boring. One of my favorite things is, you might not know actually, I like sailing. I love sailing, and I've done quite a lot in the fairly dim and distant past. But one of my favorite things is to be on deck as the sun rises or the sun sets, because it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. And I need to do more sailing. I'm going sailing actually soon.
Oh, excellent.
That's not a conversation for the podcast. Let's move on.
we're off topic again.
And actually, that has flown by, but we've been chatting for a while already, Dave. And I haven't asked you any of the questions I thought I might ask you. So,
oh, wonderful.
So in the time that we've got left then, let's round this up by sharing something valuable, useful, interesting, or just the first thing that comes to mind. So you've got a moment now where you've got an audience listening to you. What message do you want to share with them? What do you want to put out there to the world?
Be you.
Yep.
Spend your time being you and not trying to fit in. Because if you try and fit in, it's exhausting. And you'll never quite manage it anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And if you are just being you, then you will repel some people, but you'll attract others. And then you will fit in, because you're fitting in with the people who like you for being you, right?
Exactly. That's the whole point. And that's ultimately why I'm an unemployed bum, because as you so eloquently introduced me at the start, because I couldn't be me in the job that I was doing. And to stay there, I had to try and fit in. And it was too much trying to fit in and not enough being me. So that's the message, I guess. And there's a pleasing circularity to that. for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, I should probably explain that when I introduced you as a bum, I don't talk to all my guests that way. I know you well enough to know that we can talk that way to each other and it wouldn't be offensive.
Absolutely. So
apologies to any bums out there listening to this. I've got nothing against bums. I think bums are great, and that's a really brilliant way to end my podcast on. So thanks for listening to the Mind Affinity podcast. Dave, thank you so much for coming on and chatting. And I'll have to have you on again so we can go into more detail and talk about more things.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.